Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. The Boilermakers will try to bounce back versus FCS opponent Indiana State on Saturday after the loss to Penn State in week one. What does Purdue need to do better in week two? We'll discuss that on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charters here with Tom Deanhart after the long holiday weekend, which I don't think applies to sports writers. Tom, you were busy at it yesterday, Jeff Brohm's press conference, as the Boilermakers get set for the Sycamores on Saturday in the late afternoon. Purdue did a lot of things well against Penn State. It's got some things to work on as well as it gets set for ISU. I guess what's your big takeaway from yesterday at Brohm's presser and sort of what Purdue has to do to get ready for this game on Saturday?
Yeah, no jarts, no frisbee, no cookout for me, Kyle Charters. Hard at it, pecking away at the keyboard. But, yeah, Jeff Brohm had his press conference yesterday at 11. And I think people coming out of that game Thursday knew, you know, A, the missed tackles, you know, B, I guess the inability to kill the clock or milk the clock, if you will, in that four-minute offense late was a big storyline coming out of the game. And then the penalties too, right? I think there were 9 overall, 5 on the defense and 4 on the offense. So, I mean, those are more, I guess, negative takeaways, right? Positively, obviously, I think there's plenty to build on for Purdue. Charlie Jones, right? He was everything we thought he was going to be. 12 catches, 153 yards. Kyle, he's on pace for 12 games to catch 144 passes. So that's always kind of fun math to do, right? And I still think defensively, you know, why they had their issues. I think by and large the defense, especially the front 7 in particular, I think showed out pretty well. The line, I think, in the second half started to get a little better push. So, again, plenty to work on. You know what, right out of the gate, Kyle, you want to know what you're made of, and Purdue certainly got a litmus test and knows what has to get cleaned up here moving forward. And there's 3 games the rest of this month for a chance to Purdue to get those things cleaned up before they head into that make or break October.
Yeah, probably the right opponent at the right time this weekend, and the Sycamores, of course, Indiana State is an FCS. That does not mean necessarily that it's an automatic win, of course. Purdue struggled in a different era with ISU a few years ago, and FCS teams do beat FBS teams on occasion. But it seems like this is a good week to have a lower division team, maybe get some of those things cleaned up. Purdue wants to be able to run the ball better than it did. I thought it ran the ball okay through the first 3 quarters, mm-hmm. and then, you know, sort of when it needed to run the ball late, Jeff Brohm decided not to do so. This is the way I've always said Purdue in the running game. It needs to maintain the threat of balance. It doesn't have to be balanced, but the threat of balance is the key. Be able to run the ball in the red zone, run the ball short yardage, run the ball when you have a lead. What do you think we'll see in terms of Purdue's running game this weekend against a lesser opponent, seemingly lower division opponent, and then going forward?
Yeah, just first Indiana State, Kyle, you're right. You know, Purdue is 12-0 all the time against FCS schools. But like you said, every year we see those FCS schools take down FBS schools. Already happened a couple times this year. I know Delaware beat Navy. The last time a Big Ten team's lost to FCS, you got to go back to 2016, happened to Iowa and Northwestern. So you always have to have your radar up, obviously. And Indiana State's going to come to town with a heavy heart, having lost a couple of football players in that car accident in August. Jeff Brohm got total respect for this team. And, again, he knows you got to stay dialed in no matter who you're playing. And for sure, Kyle, I think he wants to, you know, get some teeth in that ground game. This may be a good opportunity to do that very thing. It was interesting. I thought you probably noticed, too, on Thursday when Purdue really wanted to muscle up in the ground game, they brought in a 6th offensive lineman. Mahane Musa came in as a tackle. And there was one sequence, I think, on the second King Drew touchdown, Kyle. That was the configuration up front. Plus, Payne Durham was in the game. Plus, Purdue had Marcus Bowe, an offensive lineman, in motion as a lead blocker on that play. So, They're trying to get creative when they're in short yardage situations in the red zone in particular to try to get a push. They did very well, I thought, in the red zone with running the football. Now, again, I think an underlying storyline we forget here is the loss of Garrett Miller and what that means not just to the pass game but also to the run game. He was the best blocking tight end they have. So you got to think outside the box, and I think Jeff Rom's usually good at that, coming up with schemes and ideas to try to work around maybe any personnel deficiencies he may have. And that was one example of it. So this may be an opportunity Thursday, or I should say Saturday at 4 p.m. in Rossade, for Purdue to muscle up and just gain some confidence, right? Just try to gain some confidence. You really hope if you're Purdue, this thing doesn't come down in the fourth quarter. You hope you're emptying your bench by the fourth quarter, right? And maybe you got 200 yards rushing just to get some mojo. I know it's a lesser foe, but sometimes, Kyle, you just like to feel good about yourself overall. And this may be a chance, you'd think, hopefully, for Purdue to feel good about themselves in a lot of areas, including the run game.
One thing that we did not see as part of the run game that I think we both expected to see a little bit of was Tyrone Tracy be involved some out of the backfield. We did see T.J. Sheffield get a carry on a sweep that turned into a disaster for Purdue at the end of the first half. But we did not see Tracy get any carries, only had a couple of touches as a receiver. Does he need to be more involved in that run game or just more involved in the offense in general?
Yes, he does. Exactly what you said. The latter there. Yes, he has to be more involved, Kyle. And Jeff Rom talked about that yesterday. Two touches overall on Thursday, one rush, one reception. And, you know, you cover the team. You're around it a lot, too. Spring football, Tyrone Tracy was here. A lot of good things they had to say about the Iowa transfer. Fall camp, much the same storyline. A lot of excitement about Tyrone Tracy. There was talk of him being deployed. I'm not saying he's Deebo Samuel, but being deployed like a Deebo Samuel player, a guy who's going to run it and also catch it. So I think we all thought we'd see more from Tracy right out of the gate, and that wasn't the case. And I think that was just an oversight. I think moving forward, Jeff Rom is going to try to utilize him more because I really think, Kyle, you know, this offense needs playmakers, right? And Tracy's a guy I think that can make plays for you, and we know what Charlie Jones can do. Mershon Rice had a nice little step-out game as well, and Purdue's going to need a couple more guys, I think, obviously, to step up and be playmakers, and I think Tracy's going to have to be one of those guys.
All right, so did you have play-calling issues with what Jeff Rom did in the fourth quarter? Here is my take on I understand you want to be aggressive. You need one more first down. I have never been in a stadium anywhere, ever, especially in Rossade, where the number of people, like, in unison screaming toward the sideline to run the football. I mean, it was sort of crazy. Especially at Purdue, where everybody wants to throw the ball all over the yard. But after Purdue got it to second and six on the one run, King DeRue's four-yard run on that first down, I felt like Purdue should have ran it on that second down. That was the one to me. You run it on that second down, if you get to third and three, or maybe – you know, third and two, it gives you some options for what you want to do on that third down, where if you could just pick up 3 yards on the second down, you've got options then whether to run the ball perhaps on the third down or, you know, just a short throw of some sort to get that first down. That's the one play that I felt like Purdue could have ran the ball at least one more time. I mean, there are other instances, but that one was the big one.
Yeah, fair criticisms. And, you know, the last two times Purdue had the ball before their final possession after the Penn State touchdown, Kyle, they ran, I think it was 12 plays. 11 of those were passes. And yeah, you know, Jeff Rom said in the post game, he reiterated that on Monday, that, you know, Penn State was doing a good job locking up the receivers for the Boilermakers and man coverage. Remember, Kyle, that's a very good Penn State secondary. Probably has a couple pros, maybe the best secondary Purdue sees all year. And then they had extra men in the box, Darren Purdue, to run it. So, again, the configuration of the defense was, again, not conducive to running the ball, even though you have to run the ball, and you still maybe like to take your shots at running the football, but it didn't happen. So, you make good points, and you have valid criticisms there. I think Jeff Rom, obviously, is always evaluating his program. And you know what, Kyle? I mean, you've been around this Purdue program for a long time. You saw all those Joe Tiller era games, and that offense was similar to Brahms, where it just really is not built to milk clock and to run that 4-minute offense and to protect the lead. And it is what it is. It's a big play offense. He wants to throw the ball up the field and be aggressive. So Purdue almost did it, Kyle. If Payne Durham comes up with that catch, first down, maybe only one first down is all you need, and then game over, right? It didn't happen. So, again, everything's still on the plate for Purdue, obviously. The loss stings. You would like to have had it. In my preseason projections, I had this as a loss, and I still think there's a good chance this team to go 9-3. But, again, it's going to be interesting to see, because Purdue's going to be in similar instances moving forward here. If they can move the clock and run the ball when everybody knows that's what they want to try to do.
As you mentioned earlier, Charlie Jones had 12 receptions for 153 yards. He had – what did he have? He had one more reception than Iowa, than Spencer Petras completed. And I think the Hawkeyes 7-3 non-touchdown victory. I think Iowa only threw for like 109 yards too. And certainly Charlie Jones found what he was looking for in coming to Purdue. The question though is, does Purdue need a, if he is the first option, which it at least appears as if right now he's the first option. If he is, does Purdue need a consistent second guy, or can it do what it did regularly against Penn State in week one, and that is, you know, just distribute pretty evenly among everyone else for that second option?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a number two guy's been an ID just yet, but like you said, Charlie Jones looks like he's going to separate himself and be that alpha receiver. That is the favorite target of Aiden O'Connell. 19 targets on Thursday, Kyle. That's a lot of targets. I'm not sure if David Bell was ever targeted that many times in any game at Purdue. So there you go on that front. And, yeah, Mershon Rice, I talked about him earlier. We all know his issues with staying healthy throughout his career. Maybe he can do that this year because he's got a world of potential. He's got the size and the speed to be, again, a nice playmaker for that offense on the perimeter. You know, T.J. Sheffield, I think, the staff likes him a lot. I think Deion Burks is the guy that we didn't see much of Thursday. I think we probably need to see more of him, the redshirt freshman, maybe the fastest receiver they have as well. And we talked about Tyron Tracy a little bit, so that mix of guys right there. And even, you know, we saw sprinkles of Elijah Canyon, the Auburn transfer, right in the red zone. They trusted him enough to put him out there, and I think we even targeted him a couple of times. And maybe the X factor we haven't even talked about yet is Brock Thompson, right, Kyle? Had the scare with the knee issue. He got dinged up during the game. We all know the well-chronicled story of his injuries and the surgeries in the off-season, right? And they really handled him with care in camp, and boom, right out of the gate, he gets his knee dinged up. Jeff Brown thought he'd be ready to go. Sadly, we'll see. But, again, he's a guy, if he can get healthy and stay healthy, he could be that complement to Charlie Jones to get Purdue a nice 1-2 punch as well.
All right, Tom, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of defense and the Boilermakers. We'll do that coming up next. You're listening to Golden Black Radio.
At Purdue Federal Credit Union, it's about a relationship. A relationship that goes where you go, wherever you are in life. A relationship that's committed to free financial wellness resources, lower fees, and innovative digital banking solutions. Because we believe in people helping people. Let's build your financial future together. Purdue Federal Credit Union, your trusted financial partner for life. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. AcrePro Midwest Farm Group is your local farmland specialist. With decades of experience in Indiana agriculture, no one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. Visit AcrePro.com or call 765-583-3185 to talk to your local land expert today. Again, 765-583-3185.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
Designing and building since 1968, T&W has changed the way people think about construction. T&W's three-stage approach to designing and building is unmatched throughout the construction industry. Learn more about T&W's people, passion, and projects at twdesignbuild.com.
The wait is almost over. A new football season is about to begin. Get ready for the NFL Week 1 action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To celebrate the return of football, DraftKings is giving new customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on any football game and get $200 in free bets instantly. One more action for opening night. Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings' early win promotion. Get up 7 and you win. Bet on any NFL game of your choice, and if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code GOLDANDBLACK to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code GOLDANDBLACK only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Heading to see the Boilermakers take on the Wisconsin Badgers on October 22nd. Sign up to win 4 tickets and an overnight stay at Sand Valley, a Midwest resort located just an hour and a half from Madison. Complimentary shuttle to the game is included. Visit sandvalleypursuits.com to enter. Exit Pizza is teaming up with Aiden O'Connell on the Aiden's Air Raid Pizza all summer long. Aiden likes his A-Zip loaded with barbecue, pulled pork, peppers, and Grippo's potato chips. A-Zip is owned by former walk-on football player Brad Niemeyer with locations in Lafayette, Evansville, Indianapolis, and more. Check it out at azippizza.com. That's A-Z-Z-I-P-P-I-Z-Z-A.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
Hey, Kyle with Tom, talking a little bit of football. Purdue headed into its 4 o'clock kick against Indiana State on Saturday after the loss to Penn State last Thursday. Tom, not a lot of pressure for Purdue during basically the first 3 quarters. I think on the last play of the 3rd quarter, Purdue had a quarterback hurry, Scotty Humpich, and then he had a sack on the first play of the 4th quarter. I would imagine that you also noticed this. I did sitting in the stands. It was, I called it a half posse, where Purdue moved Joe Tiller called that alignment the posse way back in the day, where you moved the 2 defensive ends to defensive tackle and put 2 more ends on the field. Purdue did it a little bit. It would put Humpich in at end. It moved Jack Sullivan in to defensive tackle. I thought that alignment, more than any other alignment, gave Purdue a little bit of pass rush out there. Certainly, Humpich looked pretty good in his debut as a Boilermaker. We probably need to see more of him, don't we? I mean, he played on passing downs, but man, he did create some things in the backfield that otherwise, when he was not out there, Purdue just did not get enough pressure.
Yeah, he had the lone sack for the Boilermakers. I think he let him in pressures too. Kydren Jenkins, I thought, did a good job getting some pressure as well. You're exactly right, Kyle. There were maybe upwards of 18 to 20 instances, by my count, of Purdue having 2 Leos on the field at the same time. And, yeah, you harken back to the Joe Tiller days. I remember that posse formation you guys writing and talking about it back in the day, just to get a little more push, a little more oomph a little more athletic ability and explosiveness on that D-line. And Mark Hagan's not afraid to experiment and do all he can. Because we all know, Kyle, that was a big issue coming in this year, right? How were they going to rush the passer with Big George off the NFL? We all agree there is no Carl Loftus on the roster, but there's some players with nice potential. And, again, the two guys you spoke of, in particular Humpich, I think the guy would be nice to see more of. You know, right now, Kyler Jenkins is the number one Leo. Humpich is number two, but I think on those passing downs, we'll see both those guys on the field together. And, Kyle, I'd like to see or hear your thoughts on the true freshman, number five, Nick Caraway. You know, he saw six snaps of action. I think we're going to see a lot more of him moving forward, too. He could be a real difference maker as he slowly weaned in here over the course of his true freshman year.
Yeah, I was asked before the game whether I thought that we would see him in week one, and I just wasn't sure whether I think that he's going to have a big impact on Purdue eventually and maybe this season and maybe more as we go on. I didn't know how much he would play in week one. Five snaps seems like about the right amount. But, yeah, I think that in time we might see more of him and Humpich. I just felt like Purdue was a different team with Scotty out there on the field as far as being able to create some pressure, because there were some times in that game where Purdue just didn't get any pressure at all, and it really hurt.
Yeah, you think of Rob Ninkovich. At least I think of Rob Ninkovich when I see Scotty Humpich. A lot of similarities physically between those two guys. Hopefully Humpich can be half the player Ninkovich was. But you're right. We all know the importance of a pass rush. That was a sixth-year quarterback Purdue was facing in Sean Clifford. And we saw the moxie on that last drive when he took his team 80 yards to pay dirt. Came back earlier from, I guess, twisting his knee a little bit and had some cramping issues too. So now that was a good signal caller they saw. The line did a pretty good job overall, like you said, for Penn State. But Purdue's got some stuff to work with, I believe, up there. There was a fresh rotation of bodies too. And that's the real strength of that line, I think, Kyle. When they play those physical teams like Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, they want to pound you. You know, Purdue's going to be able to keep a nice rotation of fresh bodies out there to hopefully hold up into the fourth quarter and not get run over and hang in the game.
Tackles were a problem at times. Purdue missed several of them. I think Jeff Braun pointed out during the press conference on Monday, maybe five plays in particular, that the tackling was a problem. That was a frustration for game one. We have not seen that a lot during Jeff Brom's tenure, just tackling problems in general, even though, you know, Purdue's had a number of different defensive coordinators now. They generally have done a good job of tackling, but that was one of the worst games, seems like, in recent past here in terms of tackling for Purdue.
Yeah, according to Pro Football Focus, Purdue had 15 missed tackles overall, and none were more glaring, obviously, than right before the end of the first half, right? You know, it was, 14-10 Penn State. And after the T.J. Sheffield fumble, Penn State's chances of adding any points to end the half. But lo and behold, we see that, you know, two guys miss a tackle on Brenton Strange, the Penn State tight end. He rumbles 67 yards to pay dirt. I look up at the clock, and there's 2 seconds left in the half, Kyle. Just a backbreaker, 21-10 at the half, right? And also we saw a missed tackle on the open field on 27-yard touchdown catch, too, by the Penn State receiver. So anytime that stuff happens in the open field, it's obviously very glaring for everybody. Purdue's aware of it. They've already started working on it this last weekend. Kyle, you know, again, these coaches, they shy from doing a lot of full live contact in training camp for fear of guys getting hurt, right? So it's not uncommon to see maybe some sloppy tackling right out of the gate because of that. But still, like you said, you'd like to see it a little bit more buttoned up, especially, Kyle, from guys who are veteran players.
Yeah. All right, Tom, appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
That's Tom Dienhart on the podcast. Of course, we'll have much more in-depth Purdue and Indiana State in our pregame podcast. We'll release that about mid-morning on Friday. All right, that'll do it for our podcast. Be sure to log on for goldandblack.com for more news throughout the week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, including A-Zip Pizza. Want to eat like Aiden O'Connell? Try Aiden's Air Raid at A-Zip all September long. Barbecue, pork peppers, and Grippo's potato chips are some of his favorite toppings. Available in Lafayette, Indianapolis, and Evansville at A-Zip Pizza. Visit A-Z-Z-I-P-P-I-Z-Z-A.com. If you do like the podcast, be sure to rate us 5 stars. Also, leave us a comment as well. We would certainly appreciate that. More podcasts drop throughout the week. Pre-game podcast, mid-morning on Friday. That'll do it for this edition. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.